Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the PGG Wrightson result briefing for the 6 months to 31 December 2016. I'm Mark Dewdney, Chief Executive of PGG Wrightson, and it's my pleasure to provide you with an overview of our interim results for the 2017 financial year. With me on the call are Peter Scott, our CFO, and Julian Daly, our General Manager of Strategy, who is also our company secretary. Before I begin, I just want to take a moment to thank the 2,300 outstanding individuals who make up the PGG Wrightson team for their continued hard work and dedication during these tough trading conditions. On behalf of the board and the executive team, thank you. I would now like to summarise the results and our trading performance for about 20 minutes, and then there will be time for questions. Let me first start by recapping the key points from our announcement to the market this morning. Before I do that, please note that we use operating EBITDA as the key measure of performance within the business. This is a non-GAAP financial accounting measure, and I would refer you to our full accounts for details of how this relates to net profit measures. So the key results to note before I get into the detail are that our operating EBITDA was $26 million. That was back $5 million from the record result we achieved in the corresponding period last year. Net profit after tax was $16 million, which was $77,000 short of the first half-year profit of $16.1 million last year. And we have announced today that we will pay a fully imputed dividend of 1.75 cents per share. This is a very solid result given the challenging conditions that were faced in a number of key agricultural sectors. The positive momentum that we've built as a group has been sustained, and we have confidence that we've outperformed the market as conditions in the agriculture sector tightened during the first half of this year. We expected that the tougher trading environment would mean a dip in our earnings for the first half of the year. While there are still some key trading months ahead of us, we remain on track to deliver a full-year operating EBITDA in the $62 to $68 million range, as we signalled in October last year. In addition, we expect that full-year net profit after tax to be higher than last year in the range of $46 to $51 million. This increase is due to several non-operating gains we expect to realise in the second half of the year, such as gains on property that we are in the process of selling. We continue to operate well in New Zealand and across our other markets. This first half result was affected by the continued caution coming out of the dairy sector right across New Zealand. As an example, the caution slowed irrigation developments, which impacts on our water business. However, as we look toward the second half of the financial year, which is traditionally the strongest trading period for us, with optimism that we will see the impact of improving sentiment from the dairy sector. In particular, early signals that we are getting are positive for regrassing and for seed demand to pick up in the autumn. But it's not just the price of milk. Tough wool trading conditions and lower production levels across New Zealand for both milk and red meat, and the very wet start to spring led to cautious spending from many of our farming customers during the 6 months to 31 December 2016. Those trading conditions led to a 2% decline in revenue. As I said earlier, though, despite this, net profit after tax remained broadly unchanged against the prior corresponding period. PGW benefits from having a diversified business portfolio. This half year, our water and wool businesses had softer earnings. Our New Zealand seed business was also back slightly, but our other business units all performed at or better than the previous corresponding period. So in summary, when you consider the challenging trading conditions, this is a very good half-year result. We have a clear strategy which we are continuing to execute well. This clarity of direction, along with highly engaged staff, have positioned our business well to trade through the volatile conditions that exist, and the diversified nature of our business also supports this resilience. In market conditions such as these, customers need to get more benefit out of every dollar they are spending on farm. And this plays to our strengths in terms of the quality of our products and the technical expertise of our people. I personally believe that our people are the key to our strong trading performance and profitability. Our staff engagement remains at the highest level our business has seen, and at this time it's critical that our people are committed and willing to put in the extra effort, both for our customers and for the business. I would now like to elaborate more on the external factors that have featured over the first half of the fiscal year. While the global dairy trade prices rebounded well from their lows in August 2016, dairy farmer spending has yet to accelerate. We believe that if pricing remains steady around current levels, we expect to see an uptick in spending in autumn 2017, and then perhaps even more significantly into the next financial year. We experienced good feed conditions across most of the country in the early part of spring, but then when we got into October, weather deteriorated significantly, and October was a very tough period for a number of farmers, and that related and led to delays in crops being planted, as in some areas farmers just simply couldn't work their paddocks. Horticulture has had another strong half year, with all sectors enjoying positive returns. This has helped our fruit fed business increase revenues and profits again. However, as I mentioned earlier, wool continues to operate within difficult global trading conditions, with a key influence being a significant decrease in demand from China. Prices have plummeted, so volumes traded are well down, as many sheep farmers are preferring to store their wool rather than sell it and wait for market prices to increase in the future. With those general comments, now let me just move on and talk about each of our major business units. I'll start with retail. Once again, retail has increased operating EBITDA this period by $2 million on the corresponding period last year. Margins have also increased year on year. Despite some challenges with the weather and competitor activity, all three of our retail business areas, being rural services, fruit fed, and agri-trade, have contributed to the strong retail result. In particular, our fruit fed business continues to go from strength to strength. The focus from our sales team has been a key contributor to our growth. We continue to support them by training and the on-farm support of our tech team. Our key account team has also picked up some large parcels of new business. To continue to grow in this environment is an excellent achievement, and we expect retail to hold on to those gains through the second half. New Zealand Seeds then. Our other key first half business is New Zealand Seeds. The spring sown forage options, including brassicas, fodder beet, and forage cereals, which are critical to winter feeding programs. As expected, New Zealand Seed fell short of last year's impressive first half result. Our grain trading business was impacted with low grain prices reducing our commission income and squeezing margins. We're much more optimistic regarding the upcoming autumn pasture renewal season. No doubt in our mind that dairy farmers in particular are in a better position to invest in new pastures to boost productivity. If I move to seed and grain now, looking at the other businesses that make up seed and grain, their results are generally skewed towards the second half of the financial year. Our South American business had a promising start to the year, comfortably beating both budget and the prior comparison period. The first half of South America's year is driven by the cropping sector, and this part of the economy is showing good signs of recovery from the previous flood-hit year. You may recall that our 2016 financial year in the region was severely impacted by low commodity price and disastrous flooding, so it's very pleasing to see the region getting back on its feet. Our Australian seeds business has maintained the year-on-year contribution. With favourable seasonal conditions, good commodity prices and good seed supplies, we are optimistic for a good second half for our Australian business, with actual performance, as always, being dependent on the timing and the amount of autumn rain. So overall, seed and grain is performing well. Operating EBITDA is tracking ahead of budget, though back on the same period last year by $1.7 million. We are expecting a solid second half result from seed and grain. Back to New Zealand, our livestock business maintained last year's operating EBITDA for the first half, despite tallies for all stock and all sales channels being down about 1% on last year. This drop in activity is in line with the year-on-year drop in national lamb and mutton kill. However, this was offset in part by sheep prices being buoyed by the strong store market, driven by low supply and high demand due to good feed conditions. Our livestock business conventionally makes most of its contribution to earnings in the second half, and changes in livestock prices and volumes can have a significant impact on our full year results. Other rural services. As expected, reduced confidence in the dairy sector is having an effect on PGW water, with less dairy conversions and irrigation upgrades being completed. Water is well back on last year's first half result and explains most of the year-on-year decline at the group level. With the improved confidence in the dairy sector in recent months, we expect demand to improve, and this should start to lift FY18 earnings. The other area of opportunity for this business is further water schemes. We await decisions around a number of these, in particular the Central Plains Water Stage 2, which will see an additional 20,000 hectares of land irrigated in inland Canterbury. Our wool business performance was challenged by the difficult trading conditions that I mentioned earlier, with dropping wool prices impacting private buying and auction trading, both at the margin and revenue level. International wool prices have fallen approximately 50% over the past 6 months, with the consequence that we are seeing a reduction in bales sold. The performance of the real estate business for the first half has been in line with budget expectations and has resulted in the best revenue result for the period in 6 years. The performance was based off a strong lifestyle market and lift in the rural sales, which has been challenged in previous years. So to summarise across the whole group, most of our businesses are performing well in the face of tougher conditions. Those businesses that are relatively more exposed to the dairy sector, such as water and grain, have seen earnings dip, while those businesses that are relatively less exposed to dairy, such as retail, real estate in South America, have seen earnings hold up well. With a continued focus on cost control, we expect our second half operating EBITDA to be broadly in line with last year's second half result, and this should result in our full year operating EBITDA being in the $62 to $68 million range for 2017. On the back of this half year result, PGW's board has declared a fully imputed dividend of 1.75 cents per share, which will be paid to shareholders registered at the record date of 10 March 2017. The dividend will be paid on the 4th of April 2017. If I move now to our balance sheet, our continued focus on cash flows means that our balance sheet remains strong. The seasonality of our business means that working capital and debt levels grow from June through to December. This December, we achieved lower levels of working capital and lower net interest-bearing debt than the previous December. Net interest-bearing debt was $156.2 million, compared with net interest-bearing debt at December 2015 of $167.4 million. Operating cash flows for the 6 months were minus $16.2 million, which is broadly in line with the previous corresponding period. And this includes lump sum funding contributions of $6 million that were made to the group's defined benefit plans. Net cash flow from investing activities is $2.3 million compared to a net outflow of $19.8 million for the same period last year. We have made several significant investments in recent years, such as the logistics centre in Montevideo, and these are nearing completion. As a result, capital expenditure has reduced from $32.7 million for the 6 months to December 15 to $10.9 million for the 6 months to December 16. Debtors, briefly, noting the more challenging trading environment that we are navigating, it's worthwhile commenting on our debtors briefly. Since market conditions have tightened, we have put additional focus and management attention on our receivables collections, and I'm pleased to say that to date, our collections remain strong and consistent with recent years, and we have not yet seen any increase in overdues. Briefly on our strategy, our group strategic approach across the three themes of improve the business, grow the business, and look for game changers, which was refreshed in late 2016, has continued to resonate strongly across the group, in large part due to PGW's high level of staff engagement. And finally, some comments on the outlook for the remainder of the financial year and beyond. PGW is maintaining our 2017 full-year operating EBITDA guidance that we signalled to the market in October of last year. In addition, we expect net profit after tax to be higher in 2017 than in 2016, in the range of $46 to $51 million. There are a number of non-operating gains that we expect to contribute to this increase over the second half. For example, just last week, one of our larger property divestments went unconditional, and this will result in a gain on sale of around $5 million. But returning to our operating outlook, current confidence in commodity markets is generally higher compared with recent years. As I referenced earlier, dairy prices have staged a welcome recovery over the last 5 months. Beef prices are showing signs of stabilising at good levels, slightly down on the peaks of 2014 and 15, but good by historic standards. And sheep meat prices also appear to be stabilising. Horticulture continues to go from strength to strength. As recently as December, the Ministry for Primary Industries forecast that horticulture will maintain around 5% export revenue growth per annum into the foreseeable future. We are also seeing encouraging signs of recovery in Uruguay as they put the floods of 2016 behind them. So overall, we expect that trading conditions will improve for us for the remainder of this financial year. It's encouraging that we've continued to perform consistently through the tougher conditions that have existed, and as I said, that is a credit to our people, and it's a positive indicator that reflects well on the value that we deliver to our customers, whatever the market conditions. It's been a while since we felt the wind at our backs, and the very early indications for our 2018 financial year are looking encouraging. Our 2016 earnings were outstanding, and I'm confident that 2018 can be even better. Finally, on behalf of our management team, I would like to extend our thanks to our customers, our suppliers, our shareholders, and most of all our staff for their ongoing support of the company. So that concludes the formal part of the presentation. We will now take questions.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request at any time, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of KU from FNZ. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, Mark and your team. Congratulations on a good result, given the conditions you had to deal with in the first half. I've got three questions. Firstly, in terms of the EBITDA guidance that you have provided for second half of this year to be broadly similar to previous corresponding period of about $39 million. Could you perhaps elaborate a little bit more where you see the key risks area are, which might swing it on either side of that $39 million? The second question I have is in relation to your dividend payout for this year, whether you expect that payout to be based on your net profit after tax on a reported basis that includes the gain or non-operating gain, as you call it, or whether it will be normalized for the purpose of distribution. Thank you.
All right, Kay. Look, I'll take those two. So our view on the various businesses we're in, I think there is potentially some downside in wool and water. You know, the international wool market has not found a bottom yet, in our view. It looks like it might be just starting to, but prices have halved. We are sitting on large stocks of unsold wool. So this is wool that the grower has shorn, has put into our stores, and is waiting for the right market to sell into. So we have the wool, but it's up to the grower to decide when they will sell it. Now, what we've seen in the past is when prices get low, farmers hang on to their wool and they wait for it to recover. So, you know, there could be some more downside there. I think the other area where there potentially could be some more downside is water. You know, it very much is it's an installation-based business, and it relies on, you know, projects staffing. So those two, I think there's a bias toward the downside. The areas where I see there is upside, I think retail, I'm expecting that there will be more regrassing, more investment in development and maintenance and fertilizer on farms this autumn than last year. So that will help our seed business. It'll help our retail business. So I think there's upside in both of those. And livestock, we're trading well there. Prices are generally firm. And so my expectation is that there is potentially upside there. You know, we're our current forecasts are comfortably in the middle of that range. But as you know, KU, you know, agriculture can be volatile, and, you know, things can move quite quickly and sharply. So, you know, I think there's an even balance of sort of upside and downside bias in our forecast. The second question you had was about the dividends, and we determine dividends at each reporting period based on the results and based on our forward forecasts. I believe that our board's position would be to normalise and not base a decision around dividends on items that might have been one-off. So I would tend to focus more on the operating EBITDA as an indicator of dividend than net profit after tax.
Great. A follow-up question in regards to depreciation and amortization charge for your seeds and grain division. That took me by surprise, how quickly that ramped up this year compared to last year. Was there any unusual item, the way you treated depreciation this year, that sort of led to that quite a substantial increase, or was that a follow-up from basically investment that you've made last year?
Yeah, Kay, there were no abnormal or extraordinary depreciation treatments. I think it's a function of the heavy capital investment we've made in seed and grain, particularly into our logistics facilities in Montevideo.
That's great. Thank you.
Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you do wish to ask a question today, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I would like to hand the conference back to today's presenters. Please continue.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you. We appreciate your support. We will continue to keep you informed of any matters relating to PGW as they occur. So thank you very much.